talk to you today, in today's message, is titled, Jesus is Lord. I'd like for us to begin to curate a deeper understanding of just who Jesus is. We've been saying over and over again to keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on the ball. You know, there's a lot of moving parts in the world today. We hear a lot of flippant remarks about Jesus. We even hear his name used as, of course, a blasphemy and all other kinds of things. But I just want to reiterate for you the reasons why we affirm and assert, and why all the creeds of the church and why all Christians worldwide, well, in heaven and earth, hold this one fact, this basic truth of our beliefs, that Jesus is Lord. Let's pray. So God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, display the beauty of the divine Trinity in exalting the Son. And as the Spirit lifts the name of Jesus, we know that God is glorified and our Father in heaven is pleased. We thank you, God, that our hearts are yours. Ask you to examine what you find there today. Prompt and enable us to have better understanding, more holy understanding. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just don't know who God is. I don't know if God would just show himself. If God would just answer the one burning question in my mind, you know, if then. But God doesn't play that game, does he? God doesn't answer our demands. One of the first and probably primary ways we can accept God is in a moment of absolute humility. Even the pagans, right? The beauty of a sunrise, the gorgeous colors and palette God mixes in the twilight of the day, the heart of the human swells at sights like that. The feeling that there is a divinity or a divine cause or a first cause, an uncreated cause, it fills the heart of the most humble person on the planet. We experience the chaos, the globally, and we experience the disassembly of the creation as time goes on. We experience the harshness of human behaviors. We can blame the devil, but we know good and well that what humans are capable of on their own is quite a horror. It's in a time like this when we have to go and proclaim and say the most basic statement of our faith, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
I was concerned in a couple of years ago, being on a board of ministry for our former expression, Methodism, that the question, Jesus, why is Jesus Lord, was on the examination and nobody could answer it. They come up with all this stuff. Well, I don't view Jesus as a Lord because it has medieval connotations. It has a context that involves human mastery and slavery of others and domination. And I thought, oh God. Did anybody look and see that in my version of the Bible, at least in Genesis 2, verse 4, it says, the Lord God. That predates me. The point is, God has declared himself Lord, but not so much by the term Lord. I was late getting over here because I was trying to work out in my mind enough that I wouldn't get in the weeds for 15 minutes and Charles have to stand up for after service. When we see big L, big O, big R, big D in our Bible, Lord, we're meant to see something in its place there. Turns out that in the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, the word is what we call a tetragrammaton. It's a series of consonants, Yahweh or Jehovah, and then you fill in the consonants of the vowels and try to get a word you can say. Israel, for its national definition of that little phrase, adopted Jehovah, Jehovah God. And it's a name that is supposed to be unspoken, held in reverence such that you don't say the name. So, in their scriptures, again, because everywhere they saw the Tetragrammaton, the, what is it, the YW something H, I forget it. Got it on my notes. Let me just dare to look. Oh, that makes perfect sense. YHWH. They took that name and substituted a name of their own. Now, in English, it's translated Lord. But the early Hebrews didn't write Lord, L-O-R-D. They inserted a word there that meant divinity, divine one, and the name was Adonai. Adonai. And so you get Adonai Elohim. The God, Adonai. But it's a substitution so that you don't have to stumble over trying to omit the name Jehovah or Yehovah. And so, more properly, probably, in time, they decided that Yahweh is a good word there. But let's get back to the point that the Jews didn't want his name said aloud. They felt like it was just to put it on human lips was to somehow lower his divinity. And so, Lord Adonai. Now we say, Lord, oh Lord, lo, la, lo, la, 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 zi, la. Adonai, Elohim, Jehovah, God. It's important to establish that today for us. From the beginning of the scriptures, God is called Adonai in a substitution for a name that shouldn't be spoken. Why is that important? Well, Lord is a word that we know means master. It's a term of reverence. It implies that when you call someone Lord, that you are in this servant position. It implies somehow that you've experienced a humility like the pagan or the person who doesn't know God through Christ, to recognize the smallness of oneself in the presence of something awesomely unknowable. To feel that small. I remember back in my early ministry, I would jump in my car at 4 hours to get there to Myrtle Beach. And on the days when I just, you know, my head was about to explode, I'd drive straight to Myrtle Beach, park at that place where, you know, if you went any further, you'd drive into the ocean. Park there, walk down, get out of the car, kick my shoes off, walk right down, walk down in the water about knee high, and just stand there, look and breathe until I had a sense of my place in the universe. Very small, but significant. A sense that God could locate me in the vastness of all that sand. I'd turn around and get in my car and drive home. Before I could get there, all I had was the white, salty stains on my pants to prove I've been anywhere. And it sort of reset everything for me for a long time. Just the acknowledgement that God is so much more than I can stand in front of you today and describe for you in a way that would encapsulate it. It's enough to say that I'm poking at and prodding at the places in your heart where you know God is awesomely big and awesomely other, right? I just don't know who God is. If God would just show himself. The scriptures also show us that it's not so difficult to see God. You can just brag about retirement. This is what happens when you retire. Get all Marthy. Don't tell me I won't embarrass them. The scriptures are full. The New Testament scriptures tell us that Jesus is the exact representation of God. We're going to go there in a minute. But the confession that Jesus is Lord is primary to identifying the people that Jesus is called by his own name. So it's important for us to know when we use the word Lord, we're substituting an awful lot. We're leaving unsaid, right? An awful lot. Not the fear of a feudal king or a despotic leader or an enslaver. But even in the Greek, when the word in the Greek in the New Testament means kurios, which is exalted master, divine master. The Greeks would use it in terms, they worship their ruler, right? The new Caesar would always be the next god. And so the divinity there was kurios, Lord. If we turn to Colossians 1, 15 through 20, we see what Paul tries to tell the Colossian church about Jesus. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Isn't that cool? For by him all things were created. You get that? By him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the church, the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's amazing. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, if this isn't true, and for, you know, millions and millions and millions of people, it's not true. They deny it. For them, Jesus is a madman. And they can't define it any other way, because only a madman would claim himself to be God, which Jesus did repeatedly, in saying that if you see me, you've seen the Father, you've seen God. So you either have to reduce the most significant human personage in history to madness and lunacy, or confess that he is God. John came preaching, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Not the representation of the Lord or representative or, you know, his ambassador, but prepare the way of the Lord. And he was preaching about Jesus. What was so disappointing in those early interviews with clergy who could not say why Jesus was Lord was a simple confession that they were missing. Probably because they were seeking to be a little too complicated, right? But, so you'll know when I ask you someday. Why is Jesus Lord? The answer is four words. Because Jesus is God. Why is Jesus Lord? Because Jesus is God. He is the exact representation of God, the unseen, in human form. God made flesh among us. When we look in Hebrews 1:3, we see that same sentiment repeated. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And what? It goes further. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus goes and sits in God's throne. I don't know. Kevin, you up for sitting in God's throne? Me neither. But Jesus, the scriptures declare, sat down at the right hand of God on the throne. The scriptures that we affirm, as Christians affirm, that Jesus is Lord and God Almighty. Jesus himself is spoke of himself, saying, I am. Now, God did Moses a favor at the burning bush, right? Moses said, who should I say is calling? Hold, please. And God said, I am that I am. Right? And repeatedly in times in the New Testament where Jesus says, I am, people drew back and fell down reflexively in the garden after praying all night, right, as he was being arrested. They said, where is this Nazarene? And Jesus comes out and he says, I am he. And they all fall down. It's interesting. It only means Jesus is God. Now, it's important to confess Jesus is Lord with your mouth. There's something about the verbal statement that declares into the universe what exists in your heart. I really have struggled through the years with Christians who won't make a simple declaration at the altar of their aligning with Christianity. To make a confession of their faith in order to say they've received Christ as Lord and Savior. Confessing Him before the church ought to be the simplest thing that we do. We do it often when we do the Apostles' Creed. We recite the words that declare for us Jesus is indeed God. But speaking this, Jesus is Lord, in an audible way, is placing it into the universe of noise. Inside. It's your voice, like me standing on the beach all those years ago, saying and confessing Jesus is Lord and saying it aloud, identifies and place marks you in the creation. It aligns you with the God of the universe, who is Jesus, who was with God in the beginning and is God. Romans 10:9 is a very concise statement of faith. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. Without all the garbage and, not garbage, but equipage we add and hang on that like adorning a Christmas tree with ornaments, simply those who make the good confession, Jesus is Lord, align themselves against all the principalities of darkness, all the rulers and powers of the evil air, all the peoples on the earth who deny him and crucify and put his believers and followers to death. You align yourself in that tradition. Again, like the sand washed out from under my feet and I planted even deeper in the ground, the confession Jesus is Lord identifies you. It locates you with God's people. Confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord is more than saying laws and vows. Again, why is this so important? Why are we hearing this? It's because God is invisible. There's not a little old man running around in heaven somewhere with a beard. You know, who are the famous ones on TV? You know, for me, Charlton Heston is kind of like the closest I ever got. The Lord God. The Lord your God. You know, can't say it any more authoritative than that. But it's enough to say that aligning yourself with this phrase, Jesus is Lord, is a way of understanding the world differently too. That God came to the planet in physical representation. Jesus became flesh and lived among God's people. To know him and to interact with him was to interact with God himself. It's to know him now. I don't know of any authentic, real Christian who doesn't say that they know Jesus in the present tense. It's not that he once lived and never again, but that he is the ever-living God, the ever-present God, and he has a physical manifestation. It's not a yellow, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed
Surfer Jesus.
Everybody's learning how. Come on and safari with me. Come on and safari with me.
Because Jesus is not America.
It's like Captain America with the shield, the American shield. Not America. Jesus is Lord. Is saying he is the master of the universe. In the days to come, the scriptures are plain that hard days will come. There are days prophesied that unless they're shortened, no person will be able to live through. In those days, you'll be identified, and there's all this talk of marks, marks of the beast, marks of the lamb. You know what that really is? It's who you align with. If you bear the mark of the Lamb, you bear the affirmation Jesus is Lord. And let the chips fall where they may. In times like these that are darkening, it's ever harder to know the truth. There is only one truth. Jesus is Lord. That's going to be your passkey. Possibly to martyrdom, certainly for suffering. On behalf of Jesus, you may even pay the price with your life. But the reality is that the totality of our faith includes the eschaton, which is the end, the summing up of all things. And it will come like a thief in the night. No one knows the hour of the day, but always ever near. Without your statement, Jesus is Lord. You'd be like me if that little bit of water that just swept me off my feet and drew me out into the ocean of death to be drowned. Without the affirmation Jesus is Lord in these days to come, you will be swept out by the slightest disturbance in the force. And even in the realm in which we live, with all of the debate back and forth about every single little thing, like this means right and that means left, you are already being swept away. We have one truth to affirm, even at the cost of your own life. Jesus is Lord. Why? Because there's an abomination described in the scriptures. The time determined by God, this abomination will appear on the Temple Mount and declare itself God, which means it's time now to worship the beast, the Antichrist. It's put on your TV set. It'll be televised. Jesus is Lord. Can you hear it? When any part of this world or any attraction in this world declares to you, blank is Lord, recreation is Lord, sexual fulfillment is Lord, personal realization, self-actualization is Lord, you say in your mind and with your lips, Jesus is Lord. And then the end comes. How should we face the world with these things in our mind? Everyone around us is a potential hearer of this word, someone in need of this word. Everyone around us is in need of our influence and saying, not you should get saved, or you should do this, or you should do that. It's simply to say, let me say what Jesus has done for me. When I confessed Jesus as Lord with my mouth and believed in my heart that God had raised him from the dead, I became a new creature. When I fully gave myself to that thought, I was transformed in my mind, in my thinking. The darkness was lifted away and suddenly I had new knowledge. The Holy Spirit came into my life and testified to the Father, the Son, and Himself. I had a new joy that would bear me up through the hardest, most difficult times of my life, including the grief and loss over family members, even my own death. Adonai Elohim. Feel kind of funny saying the word Jehovah, knowing how special it is to some. That's what it is to say Jesus is the Lord. Encourage you today, if you've never made the good confession, if you've never stood before men and women to proclaim Jesus as Lord, that you resolve in your heart to do that and do it very soon. And if it's because you feel as though the knowable God is unknown to you, then ask Him to make Himself known. Not on your terms. Or not in a way that you can verify with Google, right? Just say, I need to know. Seek and you will find. You will find me, God says, when you search for me with your whole heart. It's my prayer today that before too long, you'll be affirming in the body with other voices, Jesus is Lord. Let's take a few minutes to reflect on that truth. This altar is always available. If you desire to have Jesus in the knowledge of Jesus in a personal way, to have Him be your Savior, you can raise your hand at the altar. We'll be happy to come and talk with you. We can pray. I definitely would want to have an opportunity, but the altar is here for you. We'll leave you alone unless you raise your hand. But let's consider these things for you.